Mindfulness Man. Meditate to free your mind. Welcome to Mindfulness Man. Last week we spoke about the breath and posture, and the instruction I gave was actually biased towards using the breath as an object of concentration. There's mindfulness within this, but I personally believe that this is the best place to start to learn meditation. If any of you had any problems, though, in locating the breath at the nostrils, do feel free to maybe try the belly, for instance, or the chest. The key thing is not to be jumping backwards and forwards, because the mind loves to do this. The mind likes to think and move. It doesn't really want to settle. So, in establishing one single place, we build up our ability to be mindfully present, to be aware. So we're trying to establish an anchor, really, to stop the mind from drifting away. Now, if there's any questions on this, do feel free to email me on chris.manning, that's MANNING, 5, that's the digit 5, at btinternet.com, and I'll do my best to answer you in coming podcasts. Now, a word about the nature of these talks. The pace of these talks is slow. This is to allow you space for reflection. If that annoys you and you just want me to get on with it, then watch that in your mind. Ask yourself why you don't have 20 minutes or so to slow down. These are not lectures. Every day you've only got to Google mindfulness, and there's so much academic reporting happening around the subject. And that's not what this is about. Rather than me talk to you about mindfulness, I'm inviting you in to experience it. After all, mindfulness is experiential. You could read books about it for years, be a great scientist on the subject. But until you actually practice it, you won't know what it is. It's beyond words. So, instead of your attention reaching out for this information, which is what's normally done in a lecture, this not being a lecture, try to keep most of your awareness inside of you. Try and be with these words, but at the same time, be more inside your own experience. Seeing these words as an inroad. In order to get the maximum benefit from this, I encourage you to see this as a loose form of guided meditation. So, if you can, if you're in somewhere that permits, close your eyes gently. not squeezing them shut, just allowing them to come down, allowing gravity to do its job. And if you're seated, bring the spine into alignment without being too rigid. Maintain a flexibility around your spine. So it's the bones of the spine that are keeping you straight rather than the muscles in the back. Sweep your attention slowly up and down your body as if it's some sort of scanner going up and down slowly from the top of the head to the soles of the feet, then back again. Feeling whatever is there. And if you come across any strong sensations, stop and investigate. Is it tingling? Pressure? Pain? Don't get lost in the word. Instead, go right into the raw experience of this sensation. As if you're feeling this for the first time ever. So have a sense of new interest in this bodily sensation. Relax around it. Now, relax the top of your head, your scalp, and your face, feeling the cheeks sag, the jaw opening. Loose, relaxing your neck, relaxing your shoulders, relax your back, chest, and your abdomen. Feeling the gentle sensation of breathing here. Then relax your thighs, relax your calves and toes. Let your arms hang from your shoulders so that you're not holding them in place. You don't need to. Relax your hands and fingers. And now connect with the sensation of breathing. Ideally at your nostrils, but if not, anywhere that is comfortable. Not fighting with it, just observing it the best you can. No judgment about leaving and coming back to the breath, none whatsoever. The training is to just relax and gently come in touch with the breath. As I talk, if you find yourself drifting, come back to the breath. Let these words serve as a reminder to return to your own experience. Can you feel the breath and listen at the same time? Or even better, can you feel the breath and listen in a much sharper way? A much more open way, a way that feels quite new. Instead of planning a response to the words, just taking them in as they arise within you. I'm going to read a piece for you from a great book called Finding the Missing Piece. It's by Ajahn Amaro, a great teacher who is currently the head of Amaravati. This piece is called Energy and Relaxation, and it's incredibly accurate, very insightful into the balance between effort and relaxation that is required for meditation. He's a Buddhist teacher, so there will be a reference to Buddhism. But don't have an issue with that, because nobody's trying to make you anything other than more alive. Now keep your eyes closed and feel the experience of these words inside of you. Energy and relaxation. When we try to meditate, it is easy for us to veer unconsciously to the extremes, just as when learning to ride a bicycle, at first we wobble and lurch from side to side. One such extreme is experienced when the body and the mind are too energized to establish the qualities of calmness and attention. They can be very charged or excited, with the mind revved up, very interested or alert, and the body restless. This is usually caused by something that is frightening or exciting. In the usual run of events, the quality of arousal or alertness is brought about by some kind of emotionally charged stimulus. Conversely, relaxation is generally epitomized by the image of being flopped in an armchair. It's a lazy Sunday afternoon and the feet are up. Maybe there's music playing in the background or the TV is on. One is not really paying attention. The mind is dozing and drifting. And the mind and body are completely relaxed. There is an intrinsic implication of being half conscious, of not being quite with it, or being half asleep. Relaxation is generally viewed as just switching off. From a Buddhist perspective, the idea is to find that quality of being. That quality of mind and body in which the elements of relaxation and energy are both maximized and in balance with each other. It is a principle of Buddhism and also what one finds with investigation when one looks at the mind. That when one learns to calm the mind and look into its nature deeply, it becomes more and more alert and more peaceful. The attention is attuned to the reality of the present much more acutely. Briefly, the more and more clearly one sees the way things are, the more one recognizes that the fundamental nature of mind is intrinsically both completely awake and completely peaceful simultaneously. The two do not occlude each other. They are qualities that can exist simultaneously. In some ways, it goes against our common sense or our habitual experience to think of being both alert and relaxed at the same time. We feel that we have to be one or the other. But when one looks at the mind's nature, when one looks very closely and holds the attention on the fundamental nature of mind and body, one experiences the mind as completely alert, utterly attentive, and wide awake, and also completely peaceful. When one is totally new to meditation and new to Buddhism, one must take this as an article of faith or approach it as a suggestion. The spirit of these lessons is that one can take what is said and experiment. Find out for oneself. Consider it for the time being as a sort of working hypothesis. It may be easier to grasp this principle while working with the physical posture, to see its validity on a physical level. If one has practiced yoga, one may have a natural sense to this. Yoga practitioners may find when crossing the legs, closing the eyes, and paying attention to the body, that it's possible to hold the body in an upright position. One can hold the spine quite straight, and the posture has an upright, dignified quality. The base of the spine is pulled in slightly, the chest is open a little, the eyes are gently closed. The posture has an energetic quality that is achieved without holding the back rigid and tense. It's not as if one had a bolt of electricity running up through the spine, or had just been dunked into icy water. Within the feeling of uprightness, just as with any yoga pose, the body relaxes into the pose. The pose is the framework, and within that framework, one can soften the body. It's the opposite of, for example, a sculptor pouring the wet plaster of Paris into a mould which then hardens. With meditation, one starts with the contents hard and then relaxes, and there can be an extraordinary softness and ease within the body, even though it's held in this firm and steady upright posture. These are the elements of energy and relaxation that find balance with each other. If anyone tries to analyze with the rational mind, it may be difficult to understand this balance. It doesn't seem to make sense. But feeling it with the body, one can recognize, oh yes, this is where I'm wide awake. The body is alert, energized, but yes, I can relax. This doesn't mean to relax the posture so that we are flopping over, crumpling into a heap, the spine bending and the nose on the carpet. There is a way the framework of the posture can sustain itself. And then within that, there is ease, relaxation and softening. So, just trying to reflect on this without overthinking it, trying to feel this in the body. This perfect balance of energy and uprightness and relaxation. And when you're ready, opening the eyes and seeing everything from this peaceful frame of mind, just an ocean of shape and colour, trying not to put everything back into its box that you and your conditioning have created for it. Just seeing with the raw, naked eye. And feeling the peace in the body and this state of alertness. Now knowing that ultimately the two belong together. Thank you for listening. And if you'd like to contact, join with us maybe on Facebook. That is facebook.com/mindfulnessman. Or you can follow me on Twitter. That is @mindfulness_man. Or check out the blog. That is mindfulnessman.com. Thank you for listening and speak to you next week. Bye.